All right. Before we start talking about the probability distributions, there are four functions that we commonly use: the PDF, CDF, reliability, and hazard functions. And we'll define each of these and briefly, and then later we'll use those functions to describe the various distributions that we commonly see and are expected to know how to use. So there's more than four functions in reality. For example, we're going to talk about the hazard function and instantaneous failure rate, but there's also a cumulative hazard function. There's also a survival function, and then there's conditional survival function. And I'm sure there's others. The ones we typically use, though, is the PDF, the probability density function, which allows us to get a visualization oftentimes of what the data actually, where it's located on the number line, on whatever it is we're measuring. But we also then look at it in a cumulative fashion, which the accumulation of those events over that same number line. And so one's the integral of the other, and the other one's the derivative of the other, if you go back to a little calculus. The reliability function is also related, and we'll cover a bit about that also. But once you know one of the set of functions, one of these four, you can calculate the other three. And oftentimes that's necessary in order to answer a question that's convenient to use, say, the cumulative distribution function, when on using the PDF would be more tedious to answer that question. So let's take a look at some of the math and background of these different functions. So the PDF, or probability density function, it's appropriate for either the continuous distributions or discrete distributions, as are all of these functions. But the basic idea is that if you tally up all of the values, and so for continuous variables, we would use an integral over that function, it would tally up to 1. And the same for a discrete one. If we just add up the probability of all of the events that can occur, count up all those probabilities of events occurring, in other words, the height of the histogram that's a density histogram, it would also equal 1. So they're defined, these density functions are defined as equal to 1. And that's important because we're going to use that information in a number of different ways. But basically, if you're looking at life data, you know that when you first ship a product, there's no chance of it failing. Well, hopefully your product has no chance of failing. It worked at one time, so it was at 0. But over time, it may have a different chance of failing. Or if you're looking at field data, in different months from the date of shipment, you may get different numbers of returns back. And so creating this in a histogram is not an uncommon activity, but let's take a look at how a histogram and a density function are related. So this is a graphic histogram of a set of data that I've created from a normal distribution with a mean of 100 and... Let's see if I can get my pen up and working. The mean of 100 and a standard deviation of 25. So 25, 50, 75 would be the 1, 2, and 3 standard deviations. And same going up this way. This would be 3 standard deviations plus. And so on. So I expect 99.7% of my data to be within these plus or minus 3 standard deviations. Now, this histogram isn't all that informative because I've created bins that are 200 units wide. But as I increase the number amount of data that I have, I'm also going to be decreasing the bin size. And so let's take a look at what happens. If I can get the cursor to behave for me. There we go. So I just increased it slightly. And it already is taking that bell-shaped curve, or taking on that bell-shaped curve. You can imagine fitting a nice smooth line through these bins and it would be pretty darn close to a normal distribution. But if I continue to increase the amount of data I'm using, and because it's randomly pulling data off, it's going to be changing the graph slightly. But you can see that eventually, if I have enough data and the bins go to very, very small as they approach that limit of infinitesimally small, this will become a nice smooth line. Well, it's that line that the PDF describes for the continuous or the discrete distribution. Is that's what that function is this connection of these histograms taken to a limit. So it's pretty convenient way to describe our data rather than always dealing with histograms. All right. Now let's see if I can get rid of my markings. There we go. And go back to the slides. But the basic idea, though, is that, as you know, a normal distribution goes from negative infinity to plus infinity. And so the integral likewise goes over that entire range. And for a summation of discrete values, it's over the total range of possible values. Now, in most cases, it's a pretty finite range that we're dealing with. It's, say, like temperature. We go from absolute zero to some relatively high temperature, say, in a fusion furnace or nuclear furnace. But there is a range, and we can define that. So for reliability work, oftentimes our range starts at zero as something gets put into service and then operates. And so our times are usually manageable that we deal with. But the idea is that the probability density function, once I know the distribution's parameters, and oftentimes we use estimates of that, the statistics, we can describe the shape or how the histogram would look giving some data from that distribution. And that's pretty handy. So here's some weather data. I actually pulled weather data from 20 years from I think it was about 30 or 40 different weather stations around California. And you can see that it's, our mean is somewhere shy of 20 degrees Celsius, and we get warm up to 40, 45 somewhere on a rare occasion, and rarely below zero and for these particular weather stations. And if I want to know, what proportion of days did we have temperature below 20 degrees? Well, then I would just tally up the values in those bins and divide it by the total number of values I had. And it would give me a ratio, a proportion. Back before calculators were commonplace and computers were commonplace, you would plot the data and graph it and then physically cut the paper and weigh it. And the ratio of those weights would give you a crude estimate of the proportion. But that's the area under the curve, essentially. And you can use a histogram directly to answer those questions. What proportion are between 10 and 20 degrees Celsius, for example, would be the area under those two blocks of readings. But we also have other functions like the cumulative density function, which makes these calculations much, much easier. It's really just the integral of that curve. So, and that so if this is 20 degrees Celsius and we had 0 and 40, what we're looking at is that at some point, low enough temperature, not far below zero, especially for California, there's really little or no chance of the value being there. So there's a small chance at zero, about half or at 20 degrees, and then it tapers off, and very rare that we get above 40. But this idea here So if this is a probability, a cumulative density function, it's going to run between 0 and 1. And commonly we use 0.01 and put to 99 percentile. And we're at about 20 degrees, a little shy of that. We're at about half our temperatures or below that. So using that data, the histogram or the PDF of our temperatures, about half of that data actually was located below about 19, 20 degrees, somewhere in there. And the other half was above. So simply using this graph, if I go to my 20 degrees up to the graph and over, I'm reading the answer without having to do any calculations or manipulations or cutting paper out or anything like that. Now, the same applies if I'm just dealing with discrete data. Right? And it can take on, I'll just shorten my strokes here, it can take on a very similar shape. And it will vary. The shape of this cumulative distribution density function will change depending on what the distribution is. And so it starts with a histogram. We take the integral from negative infinity to the value we're interested in, say x in this case, and we plot that curve. And so if we have the cumulative density function, the derivative of that is the PDF. So a little bit of calculus review may be helpful. Some of the questions actually have you do a little bit of calculus and understand these relationships between these functions. Now, the reliability functions directly related to the cumulative density function, the CDF. It's just 1 minus the CDF. So instead of going from negative infinity to x, we're starting at x and going to the right. So on our histogram, let's say this is our value of x, we're looking for this area to the right of the value. So one way to interpret it from a reliability point of view is the CDF is looking at what's the probability of failure up to that point in time, and a reliability function, what's the chance of not failing or the probability of success up to that point in time. And so by calculating the probability of it surviving at that point or longer, I'm essentially calculating the probability that it has not failed up to that point in time. Now it starts at 1 and goes to 0, and oftentimes use 0.99 and 0.01. So I have a very small chance of failing here. Over time it ages, it has increasing chance of fail, and eventually they all fail. So the cumulative distribution function is just the complement of that. So the capital F of t equals 1 minus the reliability function. All right, so it'll look something like that. They're just complements of each other. At any given point, if this is at 0.25 and this would be at 0.75, the tally is going to be 1 between the two of them, given that identity. Pretty convenient to know that. The hard part oftentimes with the reliability function and CDF is, are you looking for the probability of failure or you're looking for the probability of success? And then which one's easier for you to get to and understand, calculate? Now, the hazard function, or hazard rate, it's commonly called, is a type of failure rate. So think of it as point in time, what is its tendency to fail? What is its instantaneous failure rate? Now, I'll draw the exponential curve because that's actually pretty simple. It's just constant, whatever the lambda parameter is, whatever its failure rate is. Since it's memoryless and doesn't have any, it's called a constant failure rate distribution. If I have a different failure rate, it's constant over all of time, which in my opinion makes it not that terribly useful because very few things actually do that. On the other hand, other distributions may have a decreasing failure rate, or they may have an increasing failure rate, or some combination of these things. So they may not be smooth at all. They may have some odd behavior of a failure rate over time. So there's hazard function is essentially the instantaneous failure rates related to failure rates. But it's easy to calculate because it's the PDF divided by the reliability function. Now, those two functions may be kind of ugly looking. We'll see a couple examples of that in another lesson. But you can see how if I know the PDF, I can do the integral, get the CDF. 1 minus that is the reliability function, and this ratio of PDF to reliability function is my hazard function. So as I said, once you know one of them, you pretty much can calculate all of them, which is pretty handy to have. So keeping these transforms basically available, because one of the ways the questions are asked about this concept is, here's a random or a made up distribution. It fits the definition. It tallies up to 1 when you take the integral of it, but they're going to ask you to do the integral or do the derivative or do the ratio or some other transform here. Because to answer the question, you're going to need, say, the reliability function in order to calculate that. So those are the 4 functions. They're interrelated. Once you know one, you technically can calculate the other ones. But each one has got a different way of allowing you to interpret the distribution data and answer questions. All right. Now, I did mention a little bit of calculus, so hopefully you were sitting down. It's not that bad. We don't do a lot of it, but it is what's behind a number of these functions. Now we're going to get into some of the distributions, a little bit more math on those, and we'll start off with the continuous distributions, and then the lesson after that, talk about discrete distributions.